Talkback Time with Smithy. Call now 0800 150 811.
It's 25 away from 10 here on SENZ. Ricardo Ball in for Ian Smith. It is talkback time, 0800 150 811. 0800 150 811. Get in touch and let's talk some sport. There's so many things to cover. We haven't really even talked State of Origin yet, but of course State of Origin 2 last night, and the Blues absolutely smashed the Maroons out in Perth. 44-12 was the final score. So we could talk that. We could talk the cricket, of course, been talking a little bit about that. And then the other story that has come up this morning has been a story coming out of the All Blacks that there has been a COVID outbreak. The All Blacks have updated us. They have said that Ian Foster and John Plumtree have both tested positive for COVID and are isolating at home. And David Harvili and Jack Goodhue have also tested positive and are not with the team in Auckland. Braden Ennor has joined the team, apparently. So for a lot of people, David Harvili, Jack Goodhue would be the starting midfield against Ireland. What does this mean? Is it going to be Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and Rico Ioane? Is that going to be the starting midfield? Or do they look at something different? Do they play maybe Jordy Barrett at 12 with Rico at 13? Play Bowden at 15 and Richie at 10? There is some speculation that Will Jordan may not be 100% either, so we will have to see. Keen to get your take on that, though. 0800 150 811. 0800 150 811 is the number. Michael from Tutukaka joins us. G'day, Michael. How are you?
Ricardo, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. What was it you wanted to talk about, in this talkback time?
A couple of quick things. The cricket was the first one.
Yep.
Interesting listening to your interview with Blundell. Like, the pitch has dried out, it's turning, and we've gone in with no spinner.
Mm.
I mean, I think our problem now is that Stead particularly, but probably Kane Williamson, their thinking is all wrong. To me, that, like, you can see what Baz has done with England, but it's the same style of cricket that the Australians play. We've just become way too conservative, right? Like, we've taken 8 batsmen into this test and 3 frontline bowlers. We've taken no spinner. England have played a spinner in every test, and now the pitch is turning. I mean, seriously, it's. I think our thinking's all wrong. I think we need a change of coach. We need someone that's more progressive. I mean, Steve's done a good job, don't get me wrong, but he's been there for 5 years now, eh? And, you know, it's probably time for some new thinking. I just think they're making, it's all coming down to the selection of the team, you know?
Yeah, well, I think the team's regressed under Stead, to be fair. I think they've gone backwards. I know they've gone older. You know, they have gotten a bit older, but I mean, they only lost BJ and Ross last year, but they feel like they have definitely regressed. I mean, we drew a test series at home with an understrength South Africa and Bangladesh, which, you know, that, I mean, losing to England and England, you know, a lot of people will lose to England and England. A lot of teams have done it over the years. A lot of good teams have done it over the years. But those two test series particularly, big question marks. And then, as you say, around some of the selections here, particularly, I mean, if it's so obvious to England that Headingley is going to spin, that Jack Leach is bowling in the first innings after 14 overs and in the second innings takes the new ball, I mean, why aren't we seeing that?
Oh, look, yeah, exactly right. For some reason, both William, and it's Williamson and Stead, right, because they're basically the selectors when they're offshore.
Yep.
Gavin Larson said that on the radio the other day. They've got an aversion to playing spinners. I get it when we're in New Zealand, but we're just, like, you know, let's be honest, we won the cricket championship. That was probably more good luck than good management, you know. You know, that should have been a drawn game. It's the only test I can remember in my lifetime that went for 6 days and not 5, and the, you know, the weather played a part in it. And you know, at this summer in New Zealand was shocking for results. We got, you know, Bangladesh came out here and beat us, and it's just like, you're right, we're just regressing. So I think a change at the top is due. My other question for you, because I'm not really a leaguey, but you are, was that result of the Kiwis versus Tonga a little bit underwhelming in terms of the scoreline? I mean, should we have beaten them by more?
We probably should have beaten them by more. I think it was a very good performance by the Kiwis, though. Let's get that
right.
That's, it was a very good performance. I don't think the conditions helped a lot. It was quite greasy and quite slippery. But, you know, I think if Michael Maguire has anything to take away in terms of work-ons from there, he'll go back and look at tape of the first 20 minutes of the second half where the Kiwis dominated possession and dominated territory and couldn't score because they probably should have. You've got to give Tonga a lot of respect as well. I mean, they have an all-star forward pack. They've got fantastic back line as well. They just miss a bit in the halves. So defensively, they were always going to be solid. But they probably, the Kiwis, will look at that and think, you know, we should have maybe had another 10, 12 points on the board, I think. But I think it's a good sign for the World Cup. And, you know, the other thing too for Tonga is they're probably where New Zealand was, say, 20 years ago, and they rely on guys playing in Super League as well, and they will be better for having those guys come in. Someone like a Tui Lolohia, who gives them a bit more depth and a bit more spark in the halves, I think will definitely help the Tongans. So it's something to look forward to in November, come the World Cup. Thanks for your call, Michael. Dean joins us out of Dunners. G'day, Dean. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Really looking forward to 2 weeks' time when it all happens here in Dunedin. But I don't know that much about cricket, but honestly, I don't know whether it's relieving Kane Williamson of the captaincy. And I reckon we've got a similar... Kane's a real problem in two of New Zealand's most marketable sports at the moment, if I'm allowed to say so. But one's injured, and to be fair, I don't even know why he keeps playing rugby, but good on him, I guess. But he's not as good as Dalton Papali'i. Everyone knows. He must know it himself. But what's the cricket? I reckon this started in the 2020, and whether it's Kane Williamson, I don't know who has the say or who makes the decisions, but we've got a real similarity with selections, and i.e. Conway's the, you know, the leading light. For 2 years we're talking about him coming into the New Zealand cricket team and finally solidifying the opening with Latham, and he hasn't opened yet, really. They put him at four. Mitchell opens in the 2020, which was an absolute disaster. Like, all he was a Clydesdale at the start, and he finished magnificently. Now he's playing where he's supposed to play, and they can't get him out. Why? Who's making these decisions? Like, that's the problem. Like, he wouldn't say to Bevan Conway, now, where do you want to bat, mate? And he says, I'd love to open, Baz. Well, Baz isn't going to say, well, you're not. I'm putting you at six.
Yeah.
To me, it's in the All Blacks as well. Like, Will Jordan, I've been harping on this for ages. He's the best 15, if not in the world, definitely in New Zealand, without a doubt. Geordie Barrett is a magnificent rugby player, but he does some silly things at fullback. And at 12, for me, he's looking okay. I think skill set, and we've failed at it lots of times, trying to put fullback into 13, but I think Geordie Barrett, would go there really, really well. But he's not doing a bad fist of it at 12. But once again, because his brother would rather lower his golf handicap than go out and practice a professional rugby player and get every kick over the goalposts, he wasn't that bad. But he's just said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not playing 15, but I'm playing 10. Now, I don't get it. I don't. The professional sportsman, like the coaches actually are the boss, I would have thought. And if I was Bowden Barrett's boss, I'd be saying, mate, I don't give a stuff about your golf. Go get the ball over the goalpost because you won't kick. We've got to muck around the whole back line because of you. Now, he's an outstanding rugby player and a real good bugger. So he can do it. He's done it before.
Well,
I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, I think on Geordie, to be fair, I agree that previously Geordie had a mistake in him at fullback. He kind of wanted to play hero ball a lot, but felt like he got rid of that last year, and I thought he was outstanding at fullback last year. So I think with the high ball that the Irish are going to give us, you know, they see him as being a safe option under that. So I can kind of see where they're going. But it's going to be interesting. Then I don't know if you've heard this, but David Harvillie and Jack Goodhue, alongside Ian Foster and John Plumtree, are all positive for COVID and are all isolating. I've also heard there's a couple more who are symptomatic in the back line as well. So it's going to impact on this first test by the looks of things. So if you've got no Harvillie and no Goodhue, I know that probably would have been your first choice midfield. Dean, there's some questions there. I mean, and I've heard that Will Jordan is not 100%. Quintu Paia might not be 100% either. And I mean, so if Jordan's not 100% and you've got no midfield, then what do you do? I mean, potentially they have to play Bowden at 15 and Geordie at 12.
Well, we give Ben Stokes a ring and say, can you come over and play rugby for New Zealand? Because what did he say when Kane got COVID? You can't actually get it if you don't do a test. Like, I'm sick of this COVID, to be brutally honest. You know, like,
I don't think that's quite how it works, Dean, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, cheers for your call, mate. Keep them coming through. 0800 150 811, 0800 150 811. Richard from Mawamaru is with us. G'day, Richard. How you doing?
Hey, Ricardo. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. What are you wanting to talk today?
Oh, I think that we need to start addressing this issue when it comes to our spinners, Ricardo, because, you know, when we look back on this three test series, we've seen Ajaz Patel only bowl two overs. And I just think that that's just not good enough when it comes to Kane and Sid, because, you know, how can they come out and say that we want to, when it comes to this, in this third test, we were like, all right, we're going to pick a specialist spinner. But, you know, I don't buy that for one bit, Ricardo, because at the end of the day, well, you know, why are we picking Michael Bracewell when we've got Ajaz Patel just sitting there waiting in the wings, wanting to play?
Mm.
You know, when it comes to 8 to 11, they're there to take wickets. They're not there to score runs. It's just an added bonus. Like, we seem to be so obsessed with lower order runs. And it's like, when it comes to Kane Williamson, it's just his inability that he just doesn't have any faith in a spinner. It's like, how are we honestly ever going to develop a spinner in our side if we're going to have that kind of attitude coming from our captain? You know, that's where I think that's the forefront of the problem that needs to be addressed, because, you know, for me personally, if we're going to, going forward, like, I know we've won the World Test Championship, like, in, you know, when it comes to, you know, our pace bowlers, but going forward, we seriously need to start picking a spinner more often and in different conditions. And that means playing them here back at home on a green summer so they can learn to adapt to all pitches, either here or across the world, Ricardo.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you at all. There definitely needs to be some new thinking. And I think, you know, Gary Stead carries the can on some of that. I also think Kane Williamson carries the can. I mean, from everything I understand, he has the final say on selection. Ajaz Patel took 10 for, as we know, in India. He's gotten two overs in this entire test series and hasn't played in either of the last two, which seems criminal to me, especially when you see what Jack Leach has done for the Poms, particularly in this test. Hey, Richard, thanks very much for your call.
No worries, Ricardo. All good.
Cheers. Richard there with us. 0800 150 811 is our phone number.